Recording in progress. Don't say anything you don't want to record to the internet. So we are at Perek Yud Aleph in Sefer Mishlei, and it's not really separate from Perek Yud. There's no paragraph break. It's just a continuation of what we're calling Book Two of Mishlei. We talked about last time. There's not much structure. Like the first book was all this central metaphor, parent telling child, watch out for strange women, all of that, But this is just more of a list of proverbs in the sense of they're short, memorable lessons, usually parallel or anti-parallel. Good is this, bad is this, or bad people get this, good people get that. And you kind of need that because the last book is more general. Chachma is good, Chachma, the Torah is good, but no specific advice. We're looking at ethics now. We need to have specific something there, and that's what this book of Mishlei is. Specific lessons, okay? And last time, the basic lesson was if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. Value of silence.
My mother's tagline.
Absolutely, everyone's mother says that, right? We have it on our refrigerator right now from the Kibbutz Chaim Heritage Foundation. Don't have anything nice, right? The value of silence. Right, you don't say mean things, and don't say nice things that aren't true either. Both of them will lead in a bad place. Don't say it, you don't have to talk about it. This parak starts with a new rule, and that is Mosnei Mirma Tovat Hashem. Scales of deceit are an abomination to God. Evin Shleima, but literally a whole evin in the sense of a weight, an honest weight. Ritzono, that's God's will. Use honest weights. That's the message. We mentioned that last parak. This is in Parak Yud, Pasuk Dalet. It says, Rosh Oseh Kafirmiyah, that the poor person is one who makes a deceitful scale, meaning that deceitful scale is going to make you poor. But Yad Charutzim to Ashir, and the hand, the power of those who are precise will become rich.
So they're mean exact.
Or yes,
The
right.
hand who that's
Of those who are charutz
careful,
of cut and dry.
yeah.
Right? You gotta be exact in your weights and measures. Otherwise, you're gonna cheat people. That's a bad thing. The question is, why is it so important? Why do I care? I mean, it's not relevant to me. Right, I have a kitchen scale. That's fine. I have cups and teaspoons and all that, but I'm not a horrible person if I don't calibrate it because I'm not cheating anybody. Right? It's not mirma. But somehow, the Torah tells us that honest weights and measures are like the most important mitzvot. We'll look at that. We'll look at the way the Torah puts it. This is Shlomo saying Mosnei Mirma Tovat Hashem. It's an abomination to have a deceitful weight. The Torah says the same thing. This has been Vayikra Yotet. Lo tasu avo bamishpat. Don't sin in judgment. Bamida, when you're measuring. Bamishkalan, weights. And mesura, and value. Mosnei Tzedek, have scales of righteousness. Have accurate scales. Avnei Tzedek, accurate weights. Eifat Tzedek, accurate volume measures. Hin Tzedek, accurate liquid measures. Yelachem, you should have all that. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am your God. Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Yisrael, who took you out of Egypt. Ushmartem kol chukotai, and guard all of my commandments, right? These one, having these Avnei Tzedek, Eifat Tzedek, Mosnei Tzedek, that is the ultimate form of kol chukotai kol mishpatai. Keep them all, asitem otam, and do them, ani Hashem, I am God. And Rashi points out that there's a connection there, right? Mosnei Tzedek, Avnei Tzedek, Eifat Tzedek, Hin Tzedek, Yelachem, you have that, ani Hashem, I'm your God, Asher Tzeti Yachem, Eretz Yisrael, who took you out of Egypt. And Rashi says, Asher Tzeti Yachem, Almanah came. On that condition. I took you out of Egypt on the condition that you have honest weights and measures. This is a big deal.
But I think it reminds you, they took you out of Egypt, and why they took you out to serve God, to be an honest person.
Right,
That's
but that's exactly the point, is that that's the definition of what it means to serve God. Hashem took you out so that you would be honest in this way of having honest weights. And similarly, when Moshe repeats the laws in Devarim, L'yeh lecha b'chizcha eved v'aben. Everything. We're talking about
Hey.
having talking about having calibrated scales. Mishlei starts out, Moz nei mirma tovat Hashem. Deceitful scales, the domination to God. Eved shleimah and on honest weight is God's will. And Devarim says, you should not have in your pocket two different weights, one small and one big. Now, you shouldn't have different volume measures, big and small. Eben Shleima, that's Shlomo's term too, in an honest way, but tzedek, yelacha, you should have. Eifa Shleima, tzedek, yelacha, you should have your volume measures should be whole and honest. The manya,
All about that.
I'm sorry.
Ruby knows all about that. That's why her baking's so good.
I don't know if that's a moral argument. Like I said, it's immoral if you're using it to cheat. The mirma here. If you're not accurate and your chazism kind of not as good, that's not a good thing. But I don't think that's the inherently the problem the Torah is talking about. Right, you will live long. And the land that Hashem gives you. Right, the same phrase that Shlomo Da uses. It's a toeva. It's an abomination to do this. To have two different weights. Whoever does this kind of sin, and that's the end of the paragraph. Next paragraph starts out. This week's is Shabbat Zachor. Zachor Asher Asalach Amalek B'derech Utzeitchem Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did. And Rashi, quoting this phrase, says those are connected. It's the next paragraph because that's what happens. Rashi says Zachor Asher Asalach. Remember what Amalek did to you. Im shekarta b'midot u'mishkalot. If you're lying in your weights and measures. Then you have to worry about the fear of the enemy. As it says in our parak in Mishlei, Mozni Mirma Hashem, deceitful weights are an abomination to God. See, and the next pasuk says, we're looking at a second, Bazadon Kalon. The arrogant one comes, destruction comes. So all the mitzvot out there, the one that was the reason for leaving Egypt, the one that if we don't keep, Amalek's going to wipe us out. That's the honest weights and measures. And as Rashi adds, that when Vayikra starts to Lo tasu aval b'mishpat, do not commit any sin in judgment. As he says, in Medin, if it's talking about literal judgment, you're a judge, you got to do it right. It says a couple of psukim before, Lo tasu aval b'mishpat. That's talking about judgment. Uma mishpat asher nikan. So what is mishpat here? Judgment here. That huya midah mishkal v'mesura. That's the weights and measures. Lamed shemodid nikra dayan. Measuring is like being a judge. You're judging others, and you have to be absolutely precise in that. Shim shakar b'midah, and huarei kum mekalkel. That lying, cheating with your measures is like perverting justice. Kroy Avel, it's called sin. Shanoi, God hates it. Meshach Kitz, it's disgusting. Perim, Toiva, it's an abomination. Which
So
is
wait,
true.
Harem b'toeva. Harem is where you're
Perim.
cast out, no?
Right. You're worthy of being cast out of the community.
Pretty serious.
This is serious, right? And we're not shopkeepers. So the question is, what do we do with that? Must be more, something more general about this Moz nei mirma than just cheating your customer. And part of that, the answer is that having a false weight makes cheat dishonesty automatic. You don't have to plan on cheating someone. If you know your scales are off, it just happens every time you sell something. Just by having an inaccurate weight, you're cheating without thinking about it, without planning. So it's emblematic of a society which no one can be trusted. Right, that's your point. When you have a two different weights, in your because when you're balancing things on a pan scale, and Rashi says, large and small, that having two different ones, the big one proves that the small one is there for lying, for cheating. You could say, well, I just didn't it wasn't calibrated, I'm sorry. But if you're cheating, no tel b'gedola, if you are buying with the larger weights, and selling with the smaller ones, then you're obviously cheating. And you don't even know who you cheated. So you can't do tshuva. Mara says this. Mara, lady. Midot, the punishment for dishonest weights and measures is worse than arayot and morality. So why is it so much worse? That for the midah, Torah says you can be threatened with amalek. The hatam efshar b'tshuva. By arayot, you can do tshuva. You can regret it. But here you can't do tshuva. You have no idea who you've cheated. Right? It's just been going on for however long. There's no way to go back and find the people that you've cheated. And if everyone has to worry they're being cheated every transaction, then no one trusts anyone. And there's no reason for you, who didn't want to be dishonest, but you go to you. There's no reason for you to be honest if everyone else is walking all over you and cheating you. So society breaks down. Mosnei Mirma is symbolic of it, what we call a low trust society. And this was from the Pew Research Center that does all the surveys internationally. Talked about the trust. Political scientist Eric Lustlaner has written is a chicken soup of social life. Makes everything better. Over the last 2 decades, social scientists repeatedly suggested that good things tend to happen in societies where people tend to trust each other. They have stronger democracies, richer economies, better health, and they suffer less from any number of social ills. As the 2007 Pew Global Attitudes Survey highlighted, the degree of trust in society varies considerably around the world. Moreover, while the survey finds that social trust is not strongly correlated with measures of democracy, or economic performance, it is strongly correlated with views about two other important issues, crime and corruption. In countries where people trust each other, there are fewer worries about crime or corrupt political leaders. So not trusting the guy who's selling you your deli gets translated into not trusting anything. And it's also a religious act. Having mosnei tzedek, well, right, righteous what scales, is an expression of halachta b'drachav, imitat yodei. We are imitating God, because God measures things precisely. Hashem created the world in precise measures, because that's what creation needs. And this is the Gur Aryeh, the Maharal, explaining the Psukim in Devarim about having a mosnei tzedek, honest scales. Here's what this means. Said that you should know, ki kasher bara v'midat kadosh baruch hu yitbarach ha'olam. God created the world and set it up. Madad v'shakal u'palas, which he measured, weighed, and balanced. Everyone according to exactly what they need. Everything is precisely set. Your needs don't overlap with someone else, even as far as a hair's breadth. So everything's measured, everything is precise. This is the divine measurement. God got it right, precisely. Therefore, so if you're cheating in your measures, you're basically taking something that really belongs to somebody else. Then the enemy's going to come. Hashem's going to say, fine, you're going to encroach on somebody else's boundaries. We're going to let them encroach on your boundaries. Because your forehead had a specific amount. And that this was your place. Hashem say, fine, I'm going to keep others out of it. And that no one's going to violate anyone else's boundaries. Everyone is precisely measured. That God gave. So if you're going to lie about your midot, and you think, okay, I don't have to be exact about it. I'll give more or less there. Then the enemy's going to come, and the enemy's going to come and treat you also. Well, boundaries, I'm not going to worry about that. It's more or less okay. That's midah. And Amalek is going to go over the set boundary. V'zeh. That's it's just like you're doing, not being precise. This idea that God is precise in how the world works is, in fact, one of the strongest proofs for God's existence. And this is do a little bit of physics here. That almost everything about the basic structure of the universe, for example, the fundamental laws and parameters of physics and the initial distribution of matter energy, is balanced on a razor's edge for life to occur. As the eminent Princeton physicist Freeman Dyson noted, there are many lucky accidents in physics. Without such accidents, water could not exist as a liquid, chains of carbon atoms could not form complex organic molecules, and hydrogen atoms could not form breakable bridges between molecules. In short, life would be impossible. Scientists call this extraordinary balancing of parameters of physics and the initial conditions of the universe the fine-tuning of the cosmos. The laws of physics are fine-tuned to allow us to exist. Today is widely regarded as offering the far more most persuasive current argument for the existence of God. That's Hashem with Moshe said it, with accurate weights and measures. And this was Rabbi Sacks put it. Looking at Martin Rees's book, it was enthralling, explaining that the universe is shaped by six mathematical constants, which, had they varied by a millionth or trillionth degree, would have resulted in no universe, or at least no life. Now, the force of gravity being slightly different, for example, the universe would either expanded or implode in such a way as to preclude the formation of stars or planets. A nuclear efficiency be slightly lower, the cosmos would consist only of hydrogen, no life would have emerged. Had it been slightly higher, there would be no rapid stellar evolution decay, leaving no time for life to evolve. The combination of improbabilities was immense. God creates order in the natural universe. We are charged with creating order in the human universe. And that's why Mosnei Tzedek are so important. Our job is to create order. It means painstaking care in what we say, what we do, and what we must restrain ourselves from doing. There is a precise choreography to the moral and spiritual life, as there is a precise architecture to the tabernacle. This was Rav Sacks, Shiran Truma, last week's parsha. Being good, specifically being holy, is not a matter of acting as the spirit moves us. It's a matter of aligning ourselves to the will that made the world. The law, structure, and precision of these things is the cosmos is made. Without them, it would cease to be. So you're Evan Shlema, your honest weights are represented by Hashem's precise setting up the universe. And then applies to everyone, not just shopkeepers. Plus, measuring that precise is how we think about other people as well. We're all evaluating others, and we need to be precise about that. As the Gra says, that the scales of deceit are an abomination to God. And that's who mekil atzmo. That's when you're being kind of you're generous with yourself, acher, than being strict with others. I judge other people to a higher standard than I judge myself. That's being consistent. That's having gedolah katana. Says Shezehu Rasha Arun. That's you being a clever Rasha. Oh, as oh seh kule beit Shammai, kule beit Hillel, shu Rasha v'u tovat Hashem. Or, deciding halakhically, I'm going to take the kula, whatever kula I can come up with without being precise, that's another toivah. And the Gemara, in fact, says that the first thing that Hashem's going to ask you after 120 years, that final judgment, how did you act in business? Did you have accurate weights? Did what you had Mosni Mirmar Eben Shlaimah, Amaraba, Adam Ladin? When a person goes into judgment, Amrim Lo, first thing they ask is, Nasata Natata Be'emunah. Did you do business honestly? That's the most important question. And then they'll ask, Kavata itim latara, did you learn? Askaba fear via, did you have children? Sipita Yeshua, did you have hope for Mashiach? Bachachma, did you analyze when you're in your learning? All these other questions. But the first part is Nasata natata ba'emunah. That's Shlomo's argument of Mos name Mirma, Tovat Hashem. And eventually Ritzono. That is a big deal. So that's his lesson for this parak. Then Shlomo goes on, and he talks about the theme of reward and punishment, which he keeps going back to in this in Sefer Mishlei, the idea that good always wins, evil will be destroyed, That's his approach to study for Rallo, is that doesn't happen. That's underlying assumption. That's it for Mishle. So Buzz Adon, Vive Cologne, and these are all these kind of antithetical parallel. Bad and the good. So with arrogance comes destruction, and wisdom, and the wise
I
are
couldn't hear you for a while.
not pointing at the microphone.
Okay.
Buzz Adon Vive Cologne. With arrogance comes destruction, with modesty comes wisdom. The Talmud. Am I translate that? Perfection? How does he translate Talmud? Integrity. That's a good word. Of the righteous will guide them. The self begadim yashadim, and the corruption of those who are unfaithful. And he translate the faithless. Okay, will destroy them. Lo yu'il hon biyom evra. Wealth won't help in the day of anger. Tzedakah, but charity will save from death. Again, these are much more general terms about tzedakah, tzedek, and rasha. Tzedakah tamim tiyasher darko. The righteousness of those with integrity will keep them on the right path. Risha to yipol rasha, but the wicked will fall in their own wickedness. Tzedakah yesharim tatzilem. The righteousness of those who are straight will save them, but the perversity, yeah, that's what we translate havat, havat, their own malice, okay? The malice of the faithless will trap them. And the emphasis here is not so much on the rasha, but this idea of being tamim and yesharim. Simple. Having integrity, being
Okay.
straight. Right, you want to be the Tom.
Yeah.
Okay, that's his message here. That Mishle talks about giving a little bit of Orma and having a little bit of cleverness there, but not too much. Right, part of Erev Shleimah is not being too clever. If you have to justify as being technically true, then you're lying. And we talked about this back in the beginning of talking about Sefer Mishle. And the pasuk says, "Tamim tiyeh Hashem Elokecha." Be tam, have integrity, and don't be too clever. And especially since this Pesach's coming up, you have the four sons, and I've made this point, but Rav Eisenman says it as well, that the hero of the Seder is not the Chacham of those four sons. The hero was the tam. The way he puts it, I like to ask people at the Seder table which of the four sons they would like to be. Predictably, almost everyone would like to be the Ben Chacham. Personally, however, I have a soft spot for the Ben Tam. Right? It could be anyone. I'd like to be like him. You look at the way that the Baal HaGadah writes those Arba'Banim. The Chacham is given an answer that isn't what the Torah says. It says, "Ach, you can also talk," because the Chacham wants the laws and all that. The Tam just says, "What's the story right now?" There's a place for that simplicity. And the way the Gra says about this, that Tamat Yesharim Tanafim, that the integrity of those who Yashar, who are straight, who are righteous, and they need both of those things, that's what guides them. And the Gra says, Givar Katati Lamala, I've already explained previous Rakim, to Tam, it says the word Tam here, which we just translate the one with integrity. Well, lech between mood v'derech Torah. That's accepting the words of the Torah, not trying to be too clever, finding ways out. V'yashar, but yashrut, literally straight. Who she some midotav b'sichlo? That's someone who thinks about his midot. V'yashar yachol. Okay, and that's being righteous with other people. That's the derech eretz. Z'yashar yachol lipol b'reshet hayetzahara. But being yashar can fall in the trap of the yetzahara. Because human seichel, human intelligence can make mistakes. So you need to be both. You need to be yashar with other people and the tamimut of going in the ways of the Torah. But devarshu negat Torah, shall yismuch al seichlo, don't rely on your own intelligence there. Tumat Yesharim. So that's the integrity of those who are righteous. Yesharim between Gamken, that's what's leading them. You need both sides of that. So don't be too clever in your halakhic reasoning, and don't be too clever in your relationship with other people, because you'll end up outthinking yourself. And there's a famous story in the Gemara about this, based on our pasuk of Tumat Yesharim Tenachem, that Humina, there was a skeptic, a heretic, the Chazi l'Rava, the Kama Ayin b'Shmaita. And he saw Rava, an Amora who was learning. Yitave etzbate didei tutikara, v'kamei etzbehu. And he was sitting on his hands, on his fingers, and was crushing them. Kamavayin etzbate dama, and they were bleeding. He was so engrossed in his learning, he didn't notice that his fingers weren't bleeding. Amarle, so this heretic says, I'm a paziza. You people are so paz, so impetuous. You act without thinking. You put your mouth in front of your ears. You spoke before you listened. And now you're doing the same thing. You're not thinking, you're just acting. What you should have done, and he's going to go back to when Bnei Israel said, Naseb and Yishma. They accepted it and then said, okay, now we're going to learn it. You should have listened first. If you like what you heard, you would have accepted it. Below, lo kiblitzu. And if not, you could have rejected it. Amrale, so Rava says back to him, Anan saginin b'shleimuta. Katibban. We have faith in what the pasuk says, that Tumat Yeshrim Tenachem. And I'm going to act with Tamim. I'm going to accept what Hashem says without overanalyzing it. I'm just going to do it, and that's going to guide me. Anshi, the Sagan Baluta, Aliluta, Katibahu, and those who, I'm going to translate, Anshi, the Sagan Baluta, who analyze to try to figure out what the end result's going to be and decide what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. The pasuk says, "V'self bogdim yishadem," that the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. And that's Shlomo's argument. Bitamim. And then we have another section, and we know you have another section because we pointed out that most of the pasukim in this section are antithetical. The contrast, good and the bad. We just said that before. Tidkat Yeshurim Tatsilem, the righteous one will be saved, Bahavat Begodim, and the unfaithful will be trapped. And so I assume the Psukim that don't follow this pattern, that have just a single idea, are meant to be the chapter headings of this next section. And that's what this next pasuk is. It says, B'mot Adam Rasha Tovei Tikva. When the evil man dies, hope is lost, but tochelat onim avda, and the hope of his strength is lost. So basically, these mean the same thing. They're parallel, as it translates that. When wicked man dies, his expectation perish, shall perish, and the hope of an unjust man perishes. Says the same thing. And the Rashi reads that specifically talking about those, not so much the Rasha being lost, but those who depend on him. Rashi, b'mot Adam Rasha, tovei tikva. When the Rasha dies, hope is lost. It's tikvat kol habotchim bo. Those who figure, okay, he's successful, I'm going to follow him. No, that's not going to work. Tochelat onim avda, and tochelat means the expectation of banav. Like Reshit Ono, strength. Children, Shehem Ono, that they are a person's strength, Avda will be lost. Gibus Hutolo, Tavolahem Tava, because they're not going to merit anything from their father. But when the tzaddik dies, Yeshu B'nehem Miftach B'tzidkatam, that their tzedakah will last and will help their children after them. And so he's telling those who are looking at the Rasha looks successful. You want to follow him, but that's wrong. So he continues, Tzadik mitzerad nelchatz, that's the tzadik, will be saved from trouble. Yavo Rasha Tachtav, and the Rasha will be punished in his place. And the article Mishlei points out all these examples from Tanakh. We got Purim coming up. Haman's the obvious example that Haman ends up being hanged on the gallows that he had planned for Mordechai. So the tzaddik is saved from the tzara, and then the rasha comes by both rasha taktavs in his place. And they also said that Daniel's friends were thrown into the furnace, but they're saved, and those who threw them in actually got burned. Similarly, Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel comes out whole, and Nebuchadnezzar throws all those who accuse him into the lion's den, and they kill them, eat them there. So have faith that those who follow the tzaddik will survive. And Shlomo continues in our perek that those who follow the Rasha, if you're around the Rasha, things are going to be bad. It continues with pechanaf yeshachet re'ehu, that the mouth of flattery will destroy his neighbor, the datzakim, but with the intimate friendship of a tzaddik, yechalsu, they'll be saved. The tov tzaddikim, teletz kirya. When things are good for a tzaddik, the whole city rejoices. Va'avod rishaim rina. But when the rasha is lost, then the city rejoices. Not when they're successful. Yerkat yesharim terum karet. When the bracha of those who are righteous will elevate a city, but with the words of a rasha, the city will be destroyed. Things are better when the rasha fails, because the rasha fails and everyone around him fails as well. And the Mishnah in Sanhedrin famously says, "Mitatenshel rasha'im, hanalahen v'hanalaholam." The death of a rasha, it's good for them, and it's good for the world as well. Tadikiyam rala hen v'rala olam, but tzaddik, it's bad for the world as well when they suffer. Yain v'sheina l'rasha'im, hanala hen v'hanala olam. Wine and sleep, it's good for the Russia, it's good for the world as well. You let them drunk and they can't do as much harm. But tzaddikiyam rala hen v'rala olam, but it's bad for the tzaddikiyam. We want the rasha'im out. Mara always says, oy the Russia, oy the Shechina. Things go bad for the Russia and all for those around him. And this is Gemara talking about Yetziat Mitzrayim. Rav Yosef asked, "My dictative, what does it mean? The pasuk mean at Yetziat Mitzrayim about Tem lo tetzu ish mipetach the night of Pesach? Everyone has to stay inside. No one can leave until the morning. Kivan shenitin reshut la once the destruction starts." There's no distinction between the tzaddik and rasha. Everyone gets wiped out. Hashem is destroying the rasha. It's a moment of evra, of anger. Everyone gets punished. But even more, it will generally start with the tzaddikim who are around the rasha. As Yechezkel says, when he's describing this, tzaddik rasha, tzaddik first. And Rashi says something similar when it talks about the arrangement of the camp as Bnei Israel are leaving. Mishpachat Bnei Kahat Yachanu Teimana. So the Levim were immediately around the Mishkan, and the rest of Bnei Israel were in a circle around them. And Bnei Kahat were on the south side, but also on the south side were Bnei Reuben. So we end up with the children of Kahat, which is Korach, and the children of Reuben, which is Datan Aviram, end up camped next to each other. So their conspiracy together in Project Korach makes sense because they're living next to each other. So Reuven, so right next to the sub-tribe of Kahat from Levim is Reuven, and or the Rasha or the Shechina, bad for the Rasha, bad for his neighbor as well. Laku mehem datan b'Aviram. That's what Datan Aviram conspired with Korach. And they're all the whole community, they were drawn together. And Pirkei Avot concludes with this idea. stay away from a bad neighbor. And don't become too friendly with wickedness. Because you should not despair from the ultimate payback. Eventually, the rush will be punished. And if you're there, you'll be lost with them.
But Danny, it sounds like all of them got had their midot lotovot. Like there was a group of people that were going to get in trouble together.
You're talking about Korach and all that.
Yeah.
Right. So,
So they were set up because they were put in the wrong group. They need.
okay, like you it's not, they right. It ended up badly, but you don't know. Maybe there was someone else off in Yisachar who also would have complained, but he didn't have a whole bunch of other, he wasn't around a whole bunch of everybody else who was also conspiring. So he just lived his own life and didn't cause trouble.
But I'm just saying, you have to be thankful if you are surrounded by people that have good influence on you.
Yes, that's what he's
Because
saying. Why are the
you
Russians?
have the opposite.
Yes. So, right. So it's good for the tzaddik and good for Shcheino as well. So pick your
Yeah.
neighbors.
Yeah.
Even if you're not necessarily doing the same thing, the people around you will have an influence on you. This isn't some unfair, well, God's going to wipe everybody out. The fact is, if the people with whom you interact have bad midot, it's going to affect you. And then someone concludes this section, return to the concept of silence. All right, previous one was all about if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And it continues, Baz l'Re'ehu Chaser Lev, someone embarrasses their neighbor is foolish, is lacking intelligence. Bishtuvinu Yecharish, but someone with understanding will be quiet. Olech Rachil Megaleh Sod. Someone who reveals a secret is a talebearer. They're saying Lashon Hara. Neman Ruach, and someone faithful, Machaseh Devar, keeps a secret. So this is not exactly the same thing as Perek Yud. That was about not saying negative things. This is about keeping confidences.
That's a halacha, isn't it?
There is a halacha. That's the Gemara
Somebody
in Yud.
tells you something in confidence, you're not really allowed to share it.
That's right. And that's what he's saying. That's the next ethical point. That don't tell secrets. And the Gemara actually learns that halakhically from Hashem himself. Right? The pasuk starts out, right? It says, Vayder Hashem I love me omoed lay more. And every time we have Vayder Hashem Moshe, lay more to say. Why does it always add that to say afterwards? Rabbi Musia, Barbrei, Bar Amasya, Mishmeid, Rabbi Musia, Rabba. Rabbi Musia said the name of his grandfather, Rabbi Musia. That how do you know that if you want to, if in any case where you say something to someone else, the rule is don't say anything until the person tells you you can share it. That's halacha. Hashem spoke to Moshe to say to other people. Even if you get a message from God, you have to keep it private. Unless Hashem explicitly says, go tell it to everybody else. And that's for God, certainly for other people. And we see that also with Moshe, when Hashem tells him, go back to Mitzrayim, go back to Egypt and take everybody out. And he goes back to his father-in-law. No, Moshe goes to his father-in-law, Yitro, and he says, Elchanav, I want to go back to see my brothers in Egypt. See if they're still alive. And Yitro says, fine. And it's kind of, and Moshe misses the point. I'm not going back to see how my friends were doing. My Hashem just told me I'm going out and taking them out of Egypt. And the Or Yochayim makes that point. Lo gila lo davar hashlichut. He did not tell Yitro about being sent by God. Kilo amar lo Hashem le marvam. Shem didn't tell him this is a message for other people. Go tell him. Shem tells him, go take them out. That's private. You don't tell other people. Shekol shlo amar lo lo le more. So, because any time person telling you doesn't say it anymore, go say it to others. Pray to Amar, then you can't say it. It's a form of Lashon Hara. Lech Rachil Magal Esod. Even if it's true, it's not negative. It's not doesn't sound like Lashon Hara, but it certainly is. It could be harmful. And the Gemara talks about how long that lasts. Rabbanan, minayin she yetzi lo yomar. So how do you know? This is talking about if you've been a judge on a court, right? Three person bet din. When you go out, you cannot go to the plaintiffs and say, "I thought you were innocent, but I was outvoted. They thought you were guilty." Well, ma'aseh, what can I do? Rabu, they outvoted me, so sorry about that. You can't tell them what the decision was or how the decision was concluded. The pasuk says, "Otelech you cannot be a talebearer. Even if it's true, don't say anything." Omer halich rachil magala. So that's our pasuk. That revealing a secret is like rachilut. It's such an error. Who talmida the nafak alei kala? And there was a talmid chacham. There are about whom the rumor started. People heard the gali milta, the itmar bebe midrasha about their esrin and that he said something that happened at the Beis Medrash after 22 years. 23 years later, he told the story. Afke Rav Ami Midrasha, so Rav Ami kicked him out of the Beit Medrash. Amar Dan Gali Raza, that he obviously is revealing secrets. There isn't a statute of limitation on that. You've got to keep confidence because that's part of being a high trust society. So going back with the Mosley Mirma, the dishonest weights, revealing secrets is also part of a low trust society. It makes everything worse. So be quiet, be
That's
honest.
interesting. There's no limit.
That's right. It's really hard to keep a secret, right? That's the three ways of spreading the news, right? Telegraph, telephone, and tell a secret. But don't. Shlomo is saying, be able to keep a secret, and I will stop here. Continue next week.